like to introduce our first speaker. Her name is Diane S., and she's from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi, everybody. I'm Diane. I'm an addict. I was born in D.C. I was born in D.C. General Hospital. I also went to detox in D.C. General Hospital. Fourth floor. All right. I take this serious. I'm a little nervous. All my friends know I'm nervous, and I didn't want to say that, but here I'm telling the truth today. And the thing is, I want to take, I know that we're supposed to give a message of recovery, and that's our primary purpose, and I want to make sure I do a good job, because I owe this fellowship so freaking much, and I want to do my part. Okay, so I know everybody in this room is probably not on the seventh step, so in order for me, when I was sitting in the chairs, to connect with other people, I had to hear a little bit about this story. They couldn't just go into the steps, especially when it was over my head. When I was in treatment the first time, I read the whole basic text, but I ain't understand shit. And I didn't understand that because until a friend told me, he said, things of a spiritual nature you can't understand until you're ready for it. See, I thought I got this. I can study. There's going to be a test with my sponsor. I'm going to make an A. So, you know, I forgot the spiritual principles. Hence, 90 days before my fourth anniversary, the first attempt I used. And it took me 3 years to get clean. This convention is very special to me. I remember when I had like 5 months clean was my first time here. That was freedom, the message of freedom. And freedom is the message, I think it was. It was 1991. And I had gone with a girl that was in treatment with us. We were in aftercare together. We ain't had no money. We just had gas. We got here. And when we got here, it was time for, there was the main speaker going on. And we were standing on the wall. And they were doing the NA countdown. And when they got to out, and everybody was screaming. And it was something, I can't even tell you, magical about it. That I was finally a part of something positive in my life. And, you know, and I was proud to be here. You know, I was really proud to be here, and didn't have a lot to be proud of at that point in my life. I want to tell you the step I'm working on is, I'm speaking on is, we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. I know about shortcomings. But that's not what it's about. It's about getting humble and being able to talk to God about it. I had a good relationship with God for a while, but I thought I let him down. And I didn't think I was deserving of anything, let alone going to ask him for anything. But we had this deal the second time I got clean. I said, okay, God, I'm going to let you run the show. Whatever you say, if I stay clean a year, you got it. We'll think about it again. Year came around. I said, okay, God, I'm going to do what you say for the next 10 years. So I was doing what he said. He told me to pack my bags and move to go. He said, it was like this. I never forget the day it was. It was New Year's. And we were at East of the River had a dance. And it was snowing outside. And I was sitting in the lobby, and everybody was downstairs dancing, and the, you know, go-go was going. And I heard him say to me, Chickadee, get your finances in order. Go back to school. File for divorce. I said, I'm tripping. But I had made this deal. So I did what he said. Here's what happened, how God works in my life. I don't always know if I'm connected with what his will is or is it my will. The next Monday, my phone rings. I don't know how these people found me because I was in transition housing. And it said, Mr., we have your credit card bill. We'll take and I said, God, you're a trip. So I became willing to pay He said, get your finances in order. I made the deal. I paid. So the next thing, I filed for divorce. I filed for divorce from a man that I was still in love with, but he couldn't stay clean. And it was always easier for me to stay clean once I got clean, but not getting clean. And I wanted to stay clean. And I didn't know it at the time. But I made the deal with God. So I did what he said about my finances. I filed for divorce. And then he said, move to North Carolina. What the hell? I just got a raise on my job, God. But I made the deal. And I did what he said. And I prayed a lot because I wasn't sure if it was just some crazy idea I had in my head, but it worked out for me. I still don't know the exact purpose of why I'm there, but I know I'm supposed to be there. It's the weirdest thing. You know, I was down there a year. I didn't know a single solitary soul in Narcotics Anonymous. I knew that. I went to meetings. I told where I was from and everything. And it was rough going because I had some strong women here in my recovery circle that loved me to death. And it was hard starting over, but I kept coming back. When it got time for me to work on steps even further, you know, it was one thing. It was okay for me to do 4 and 5 because that was about the past. But when it got to 6 and 7, that was talking about me now. When I was twisted, it was okay to talk about that stuff. You know, I was using then. But the stuff I do when I ain't got no excuse. And I was uncomfortable with a lot of things, a lot of behaviors, temper tantrums. Don't you know I'm clean? Like that was all I had to do. You know, I really thought that was a license to act stupid. And in a lot of places, people were just glad that I was clean because I was even worse. But I had to understand some things that happened in my life. I was on my job and some things happened and I'm acting out like a spoiled brat and I see it later. And so now I understand, oh, humility. This is what they're talking about. It doesn't feel good. And so I remember the line in the step that said, humility is as much a part of staying clean as food and water are to staying alive. And then I started looking at how often the basic text mentions humility. One of my defects is arrogance. It is. You may not notice that now, though. But I know everything. I gotta be right. We gonna argue about it till you realize the truth. And, you know, that didn't go well on your job either. And you lose a lot of friends like that, too. But, you know, God was changing me, and I didn't even know he was changing me. It also says, in Works Time Why, it says, we've seen that we need to change, but may not be aware that we've been changing since we first came into Narcotics Anonymous. And I had to stop a minute. It's a lot of shit I wasn't doing at that time. And that also helped me become willing because I could see that it was something for me to get better at. I had a friend tell me, a recovery friend, say, visualize the woman you want to be. What kind of recovery do you want to have? And what attributes? And then it said, you want to be in a relationship. But how you going to be in a relationship with somebody and what do you want from them if you don't possess it yourself? You know, so I started thinking about that. I want a man with good credit. So I had to have good credit. I didn't want him to, like, soon I fall in love and then he look at my credit score as 500. He say, baby, this ain't going to work. Then I wanted a man educated, so that meant I had to go to school while I was working. You know, and I wanted a man that had integrity, so that meant I had to tell the freaking truth. I had to be a woman about my word. These were foreign objects for me. I used the fact that people trusted me. That was part of my, that was the way I got high. That was my thing. People trust me. Hey, D, go run this. I was always a straight man to get things done. And how do I take that trust that people give me and turn it into a positive thing? So it's the wildest thing. On my job, I can't even tell a lie to a customer anymore. This freaking program has messed me up. I try, because I'm in sales. I got to remember, okay, you made this deal. I made the deal with God that as soon as it stopped working, that's when I stopped doing it. Well, I kept extending our contract. I said, next thing, I was living in a house of roof shelter when I got clean. Well, I actually went to the shelter to hide from some drug boys that I owed a lot of money to. And they couldn't get into the women's shelter. And so the lady said, why are you homeless? And I said, because I have a drug habit. And she said, do you want to do something about it? I said, yeah, sure. I commenced to getting high and going out. This was in September. I stayed at the shelter. I got comfortable at the shelter. House of Ruth shelter. Anybody familiar with that? I was going shopping at the D Street shelter. Girls were saving me. He said, you got an 8.5 shoe? Here, I got you, D. Here it is. I mean, I had become adjusted to that. And then somebody says, come to the office. They page my name. I get to the office, and the lady says, we found a bed for you in detox. What the hell? I wasn't trying to get clean, but then I said, okay, it's October. They put you out. It's starting to get cold outside. Maybe I should go to detox and chill. So I went to detox, and my clean date is October 14th, 1997. And I went in there, and while I was in there, this lady came from Kenilworth and said, do you want to go to treatment for a few months? And I said, damn, that means I could stay while through the winter, get food, and just come out, and then things will be quieted down uptown, and it'll be hot, and I can start, you know, get back on the scene. That's what I thought. But who knew that shit was going to start working? I say all of this because I really don't know how God works in my life, and when it's time for me to be on my knees and asking him for help, I know that too. I made this deal with him that if I stayed clean 10 years, I'd quit smoking. You knew I wasn't going to stay clean 10 years. But what happened? That shit happened. Rolled around, and when my 10th anniversary, every time I lit up the cigarette, I was like, damn. And I put it out. So I quit smoking October 22nd, 2000. And I jonesed for a cigarette for so long. But the thing about that is that I had to become willing. And I didn't, my sponsor tells me that all the time, pray for the willingness. I didn't understand that when I don't want to let go of some stuff. Right now, my character defect that I need to pray about is lust. A lot of times I think I have things worked out. Yeah, have you been to God about it? It's not until a situation arises that I realize, ain't shit changed on that. I have this habit of liking two men at the same time. But see, I hadn't been in that situation where I had the opportunity to have two men at the same time. And it came up in my life. And here I am, the addict again, acting crazy, drama, calling one, hiding the other. And what happened? One is upstairs in my bedroom and the other's knocking at my door. Oh, Lord. What am I going to do? I have to become willing on everything. I'm still not the same woman. It's a lot of things that are better. I do have good credit today. I even have a house. I came from the shelter, and the day I bought my house, my sponsor came to visit me, and she started crying. Because she remembered when I was uptown calling her, asking her to let me stay with her, but I was using. She didn't want to let me in. I was scary. At least that's what she says. The other thing about this step, it says, in working this step, we move away from intellectualizing the recovery process because it's about my relationship with God. I mean, I did challenge a few fears in order to stay clean, but I made this deal with him, and this is just the way he had to work in my life. I could, if somebody said, you need to do these things, no way. But I made a deal. And every time I stay true to what he wants for me, I get a blessing beyond measure. I don't know if I have a message of hope, but I want to give you a message of hope, because no matter how bad things are, they can get better. I did not believe that I could ever lose the desire to use. Out of everything that I have, material, nothing is greater and more precious to me than not having to get up and figure out how am I going to get that first one. That shit was killing me. Every day, what part of my body would I have to trade or sell, or how my spirit would be degraded, eroded, and I don't live like that today. I go to a lot of meetings and cry if I have to. I go to a lot of meetings and laugh if I have to. Because relapse is a part of my story, I try not to let a whole lot of shit build up. I went through a lot of death in my family a few years ago, which I thought I never would get through. The first was my niece, who I got high with, because she didn't realize alcohol is a drug. She had a liver that could not filter poison. She died at 39. That was January 08. Then my sister, who didn't understand alcohol is a drug, died in April of 08. And then a year later, my little brother, who decided, now that he has a good job, maybe he should use, and then he couldn't take the shame, decided to lay down on the tracks of the subway. He was a bus driver. Y'all probably heard about that. That was a pain that I've never experienced before. And I wanted to use, but I didn't want to use. I can't explain it. I wanted the pain to stop. I just walked. I couldn't drive. I couldn't come home. I couldn't plan my baby brother's funeral. I couldn't do that. I had to be home and pace it out and say it. I didn't get mad at God. I was hurt. I don't know how the hell I got through that. A lot of cake and ice cream. I didn't smoke a cigarette, even though I wanted to. But I thought about my little brother relapsing, and I couldn't do that same thing. And I thought about what that meant to our family, too, because I know one is too many for me. It's never enough. Never enough. I don't know if I've told anything about the seventh step to you guys. I hope I have. I hope I've exposed myself enough to know that this place is magical. Well, let's say it's a miracle. Because every time I come here, I get a rejuvenation. I get food that I need to stay one more year, one more day clean, get through another situation. If I can, I've called my sponsor many times crying about stuff. And I don't know what to do. And then she says some shit like, have you prayed? Did you go to a meeting? Did you talk about it? I don't want to hear that. But I do what she says eventually. I remember she told me at that time, she said, She said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I wasn't going to meetings. I was acting crazy. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm rebelling." She said, "I had like 11 years clean." She said, "You haven't been clean long enough to rebel." I love her, though. She gives me what I need when I need it. I'm blessed with this person because we got clean together. She stayed clean, and I used. But I was sharing with her all through it. She was at my wedding. She was at my divorce. She was at the shelter. She was at my anniversaries. She's always been there for me. And I'm blessed to have a friend that's my sponsor. Truly blessed. Because I never expose myself to anybody like I would with her. And I know that. I don't feel judged or anything like that. That's another character defect of mine. I judge you, but don't judge me. I'm better with that, though. At least, I think I am. But God will let me know. I want to thank y'all for letting me share. I hope you're enjoying the convention and everything that's going on. This place is beautiful. I love it here. I just love it. And I hope you're taking full advantage of all of the miracles that we are walking around looking at here at this convention. Thank you.
Let's thank Diane S. for sharing. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Kendall L. from Frederick. Frederick, Maryland.
Hi, family. My name is Kendall. I'm a great recovering addict.
Hi, Kendall.
Thank the convention and all the trusted servants because it took a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work in putting on an event of this level. So to all of those who are in service and regardless of what you've done on behalf of the fellowship, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Diana, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope on the seventh step. I was asked to share on the seventh tradition, and I brought my book up here because those who have gone before me and those who are still doing this and showing me how to do this, they just like back out there. You know, I would show up with all of my equipment just in case, because I needed to be ready. They taught me out there how to be prepared. So it's really no different for me today in this arena. So I have my literature, I got my basic text, and you know, I'm familiar with the seventh tradition, and I had all this wonderful stuff. I was just gonna read some stuff. But while I was sitting there, I was thinking about a predecessor and a friend, and they told me, boy, you know, it's good that you got your book and you got it highlighted and marked up, and you took some suggestions. That was real good. But I need to be able to just refer to what it is I say I know. Because it's just easier just reading some stuff. But I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope to the best of my ability on the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition says that every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting. Y'all told me early on that I could use these principles in all of my affairs and that they would help me. The seventh tradition, we all know it's that tradition is, you know, a money thing. It talks about the money and the basket and what the money goes for. And I'm going to try to the best of my ability. I'm a member of a home group. I've had that home group in my area. It's at 12 o'clock noon. It's located on 4 Church Street, Kemp Hall. And because it meets at 12 o'clock noon, it's kind of been stamped and labeled as a newcomer's meeting because, you know, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, probably ain't got no job or you're stealing time, lunch break, that kind of thing. But I got real comfortable there, so that's my home group. It's been my home group. I still go there. And no offense to anybody that may be new to this process. And if you new, welcome. Welcome. You're in the right place. No offense when I refer to a newcomer as a baby, because that's what y'all called me. And depending on how I'm feeling emotionally and spiritually, I'm called a baby because I need to be nurtured at any given moment. I need for y'all to continue to give me what somebody gave y'all, because I ain't always all there. But I refer to the newcomers as the baby, and in my home group, it's kind of been labeled as the newcomers meeting, because a lot of people that aren't working yet or have not gained a level of stability where they're out in the workforce or going back to school, they're in treatment, and so we call it the newcomers meeting. And because it's been pegged as the newcomers meeting, it's a whole lot of early on issues. Early on issues. But I love my home group. I do. I love my home group. But in reference to the seventh tradition and the basket get passed, it's been a few different occasions over the years where, you know, the treasurer, we couldn't find the money. And because I want to say, you know, what some of my experience has been with stealing, I wasn't going to say they stole the money. It was misplaced. So we, you know, there are a few occasions where we went without enough of what we needed, sugar, coffee. You know, the rent somehow or another always got paid, because that's one of the oldest meetings in my area, and they probably know who we are that meet there, and they figure, let them stay there, because if they're not there, they may be somewhere else, and at least they know where we are. So we never lost that meeting. But in dealing with the seventh tradition and that particular home group, my home group, a lot of issues have come up over the years. And it's been there for a long time. And we got the babies, and some of us that are more experienced members, we got jobs and lives and stuff. And, you know, so, you know, a lot of the people with some information weren't able to be there on consistent enough basis. So I don't know what the hell was going on. I'm going to talk about me. I don't know what was going on, because I wasn't showing up. I was no longer as active of a member in my home group as the literature in reference to the seventh tradition talks about, because if I've been there and if this particular group has given me something, then at some point, if not at that group, I need to be able to give it back in order to keep it. And the seventh tradition, it's about the money, because, you know, that's, we got to pass the basket to keep this thing going. And we have to have some responsibility with how that money is being spent. In the seventh tradition, it talks about what the money is for. We all know it's the coffee, the tea. Some meetings got donuts. Thank y'all. Some, you know, we got to pay rent. That's initially what the just of some of the babies get when they come in and they hear, you know, the basket will be passed to further ourselves. That's real good. But y'all told me that I needed to become an informed member of Narcotics Anonymous. So, and because I'm informed a little bit, and I got a big mouth and I'm arrogant and I was tight, I needed to know, what you gonna do with my dollar? Because early on, if I got enough of those dollars, I could practice behavior that I had gotten comfortable and familiar with. I could use. And I need to say, I was introduced to the program in 1984, and my clean date is April 26, 2000. So I collected enough of those dollars, and I basically went back out. That's the gist of that story. But there was no information. I didn't become an informed member. I didn't care about any of the traditions. That was not important to me. I came to the meetings, I joined a home group because some of y'all said so. I thought it was some nice looking folks in that meeting. I identified more out than in, so I wasn't retaining any of what I was hearing. So even when it came to any of the traditions, So when I was graced enough with an opportunity to come back in here with my tail between my legs. Y'all said you might want to become a little bit more informed this time than what you were the last time. Because you know that we know that you know how to get high. So in the event that you're not trying to do that again, sit still, shut your mouth, and let us help you. Because if you really want to find a new way of life, you might want to follow some of these traditions. So I study, I learned, I got one of them sponsors, and she, you know, we did that, and I got a better understanding of it. A lot of times it was after I broke a lot of them, and y'all corrected me, and thank you for it. I needed correction. The seventh tradition, that money, when we pass the basket, it not only just goes for coffee, the tea, and the literature. The seventh tradition talks more about, can I get some water? Talks more about, thank you. Talks a whole lot about the money, our responsibility, our obligations, the commitment that comes with all of what we do with that money. There are service boards and there are committees that depend on us when we put that, thank you. When we put that money in the basket, they depend on us to further our primary purpose, which is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Because a lot of times babies come in and they don't know what our message is because, some of us don't know what the message is. But if we have a message of hope, and it says any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use drugs, and find a new way of life. If that's our message of hope, then everything that we do ought to be. I'm all right with the traditions too, because I get to say we a lot. But what I found out in the seventh tradition is that when I operate under the spiritual principles of the seventh tradition, because it talks about the faith, it talks about there's a responsibility. I have an obligation as a member of that group, Narcotics Anonymous, to be responsible and to upholding some of what the seventh tradition talks about. It's real nice that I go to the meeting every day. And it's real nice that some of the babies know my first name. And it's real cute sometimes when my esteem is low and they jump up and hug me. That's real nice. But if I'm not giving back what was so freely given to me, and it's not just about the dollar, because see, I just started working again. I started a business. That's real good and fine. But my days have been full, and I would always say, well, I can't get there. Well, the days that I can get there, even if I didn't have a dollar to put in the basket, I'm responsible. I'm obligated to at least give my time to my home group. If I say that I'm an experienced member, then why am I not sharing some of what y'all freely gave to me so I can give back to them? The seventh tradition says that every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting. That's one of my favorite words, ought. O-U-G-H-T. Says that every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, which means the word ought, we have a moral obligation to support the home groups. There's a moral obligation. There's a moral intent. We expecting you to. It also, one of the spiritual principles that the seventh tradition talks about is the gratitude. If I say that I'm truly grateful, then why am I not putting a little bit more into the group that accepted me as a member? Yeah, I know I'm a member when I say I'm a member, but y'all trusted me enough to give me the keys, to let me make the coffee even when I didn't know how. Y'all let me stand up there dusty on some of those days and hug y'all. So if y'all thought enough of me to allow me to be a part of that, then my gratitude ought to show up and how I'm participating. I was listening to Diane, you were talking about the integrity. There's a level of integrity. It's one of the spiritual principles in the seventh tradition. There's a level of integrity that I ought to display and how I need to conduct myself in the group. Because see, if I say my home group is a newcomers meeting, it's mainly babies, and they jumping up and hugging me, and because, you know, I ain't did a whole lot and I've been there, you know, and I show up, then when I walk through the door, my attitude, my behavior, how I conduct myself, These young babies coming in and they looking at Miss Kendall. And if Miss Kendall, and I'm talking about Miss Kendall, but if Miss Kendall's still coming in with her skirts halfway up her tail, and if Miss Kendall's still hugging all the men first and shying away from the women, and if Miss Kendall only want to give him a ride and not her a ride, then what am I showing? What behavior am I displaying to the newcomer woman? See, because before I can tell you, baby, you need to put some more inches on your skirt, I need to make sure that mine is the right length. Before I'm going to sit up there and pull you up on your stuff, I need to make sure that my stuff is in some type of order. See, when I start to practice a level of integrity with the seventh tradition, it ain't just about the money. If it was just about the money, that would probably be a little bit easier. But when y'all told me that I could learn to practice these principles in all my affairs, the seventh tradition has helped me in areas of my life outside of Narcotics Anonymous. You were talking about cleaning up your credit. The seventh tradition helped me to clean up my credit.
That's right.
See, I used to like to shop a lot because one of y'all women in here told me, baby, you need to... y'all told me, boo-boo, you need to close your legs for just a minute. Just a minute. But because I didn't have any integrity, because I didn't understand what real faith was, because that's one of the other spiritual principles in the seventh tradition, because I didn't have any clue what commitment was really about, when I introduced myself to anybody, it was always from waist down, not waist up. So when the sisters loved me enough and showed me some stuff and I began to do that, I began to see that, okay, maybe, just maybe, I can practice some of these principles in all my affairs that y'all been telling me about. So I cleaned up my credit. I closed my legs. Some wonderful things have happened. Some wonderful things have happened. You see, because when we talk about the seventh tradition, and it says it's a two-part tradition. It says every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting. That's the first part. The second part is declining outside contributions. Now, see, I was kind of like special, and I had to have the personal experience to be able to relate to some stuff. And when y'all told me that I could apply these principles, when y'all said declining outside contributions, that to me said, boo, you can't trick no more in the rooms. In the rooms. Because, see, y'all need to know... And this is my experience. Yeah. I know how to trick out there on the street when you on the corner and you trying to flat, you know, and trying to go. I know what that is, but it wasn't until I got here and started doing some inside work on me where I found out I couldn't trick in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And just to clarify it, for me, tricking is anything that I choose to do where I'm flipping, flopping, switching, trading, compromising any and all of my morals, my beliefs, the integrity. If I'm willing to trade any of those things for something else, then I'm tricking. So when I was a single mother and I was working two full-time jobs with some time and I got tired and I met somebody and they were real nice and we were now in a couple, if I chose to fix him dinner on Friday, on Thursday night, because he got paid on Friday, what's my motive? I'm tricking. I'm just talking about me. I'm just talking about me. If I choose to do things that diminishes the character that God is trying to develop in me, if I'm willing to compromise, if I'm willing to do those things because basically I ain't trusting God, there was no faith being operated at that point in my life. So, yeah, the seventh tradition helped me in a whole lot of areas. So I cleaned up the credit. I closed my legs. I got a wonderful husband. Love him to death. life is good, things are great, but I'm telling you, the seventh tradition, it helped me because I had to practice this stuff. I can remember I had, I don't know, maybe about 6 or 7 years clean, and I was working my butt off, and I was tired, and I kept the legs closed for a minute, and I was cleaning up the credit, and I said, I'm gonna take care of my babies, and I was getting public assistance. And I don't knock public assistance. Public assistance helped me. It gave me, you know, it helped me. But I was sitting down one day, and I was going over my traditions and studying everything, and I thought, wow, why am I still on Section 8? And I'm working 2 full-time jobs? Even if they said, we'll still help you. Even with your income, we'll give you $100, $150 towards your rent. I had to practice enough faith at that time and the program that I was working with, the seventh tradition, to say, you know what? I appreciate the fact that the system is there to help me. But I don't need the help, so I'm not going to continue to use it as a crutch and paralyze me, debilitate me, and keep me from really stepping out on faith. Yeah, baby. So I let the Section 8 go, and I had some people tell me, you done lost your mind. But my thinking is, if I want to become fully self-supporting, and if I want to decline outside contributions, then why am I allowing an outside entity to come in and help me support my family when the God of my understanding has already said, I got you. So I'm learning about the principles, and I'm applying them in my life, and things are going really good. But I'm finding out that when we talk about the seventh tradition, if all I'm willing to do is to look at the money aspect of it from Narcotics Anonymous, then I'm cutting myself short. And not only that, my literature says that when I apply these principles, my life, the quality of it, not that circumstances and situations gonna change, but it's my perception and how I perceive them that develops and grows. Because when I operate under the principle of integrity, commitment, faith, responsibility, those are just some of the principles. It's what, 6 for the seventh tradition. But when I operate under that stuff, I get an opportunity to step outside of self and step into something that will not just benefit me, but benefit the group or my family as a whole.
There you go. I told you.
Because I still got to carry the message. I still got to carry the message of hope. Whether I'm in the rooms, because look, I love Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you. Because I ran the treatment because some hoppers was looking for me, and I said, they ain't going to look for me in treatment. They not. But the fellowship, and this is no disrespect. There's a difference between the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. The fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is still full of people that haven't learned to close their legs, clean up their credit. It's still full of us. And all of us ain't got enough program in us to do anything different. So it's up to us to step out, grab the babies, or the person that's got some time. Because integrity will allow you to go up to somebody that's got 37,000 years and in love. Because that's the most powerful principle that we have. It's the love that attracts those babies to come up in there. It's the love that they see that we give that makes them want to keep coming back until something's revealed. But if ain't shit being revealed in me, what really message am I sending them? What message really? Our message is about hope, and our promise is freedom. There's a lot of things that go on in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Our program is changing. And it ain't necessarily like the end of the world. It ain't like, hell, we changing. The seventh step teaches us and it reminds us that we evolve. the group evolves, and so do I. And if I continue to work on the inside of me and practice these principles, we all get a little bit better. And the babies ain't gotta die. And the babies ain't gotta die. Statistics tell me that my three children have a gene. And it ain't Jordache or Gucci. So my hope and my prayer is that as my children grow up and develop, so will the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because I already know I'm not going to live forever. My prayer is that my babies, you know, outlive me. But because of all of the statistics, because of a lot of what I gave them and taught them, one of them may decide that they want to do something that's going to make them feel real good, and then they might want to do it again until it becomes a habit. What I'm saying is that if one of my babies happened to find themselves in an NA meeting and ain't nobody hugging him, or somebody tell them because they ain't put no money in the basket, they not a member or they got to leave. Or if somebody forgets to practice the principle of commitment that the seventh tradition talks about, and you forget that it's your day to open up the damn door and you don't show up. Because there's a lot of ways that we support the seventh tradition. And I don't want my babies to have to come to a meeting and the door is locked. Or we didn't got pissed off with somebody because they ran off with the money. Because what I've learned in my experience is that there are enough members in Narcotics Anonymous. And the way that the group gets its support and continues to do what it needs to do, which is carrying the message, yeah, it's the commitments and the helping out and the setting up. But at the same time, man, we got to be real careful about the money, property, and prestige piece. Because if you got more money than I got, you here every day drinking coffee, sucking up the air and the atmosphere, my crazy behind might just be liable to say to you, you can't buy no coffee? You can't bring it from home? Well, you can't pay the $5 rent this month? Let me tell the truth. I had to say it when I had to say it in a nicer way. But then I had to remember, Kendall, you really ain't running nothing. And if the meeting is suffering to the degree that you believe it's suffering, how much responsibility, how much prayer, and how much faith are you really? Because the same God that got me to Narcotics Anonymous, directed me to that home group, trust and believe, I have never... And I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I have never, in the years that I've been coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I have never seen a meeting close because of lack of funds. Now, we done did some dumb shit and lost some meetings. We have. But if we uphold the principles that the seventh tradition talks about, and it ain't always about having a dance and a fundraiser, all that stuff is real good, but sometimes we have to invite the loving God in. Sometimes the group conscience, that's just what it is. Look, let me shut up and let me get something from God because I don't want to go there. And, you know, sometimes we need to have a group conscience and invite a loving God in, something that's greater than self, so that we can come up with some real good ideas about how can we continue to not just keep the meeting open, but keep the message of hope alive. What good is it having a meeting that's been there for 77 years, but ain't nobody up in there sharing a message of hope? So, what the seventh tradition has reminded me about and what it continues to teach me is that, yes, if I say that I'm an informed member and if I say I have a home group and all that other really nice stuff I say, then I need to be able to participate, show up, take part in, and because it is a lot of babies, I need to be the example I need to be able to get outside of my arrogance and my ego, because I like getting kudos. How you doing, Mr. Kendall? And I need to be able to make enough of a commitment to show somebody like somebody showed me. It's women in this room that operated under the principles of the seventh tradition and showed me how to wear makeup. Hell, one of them told me that I wasn't a size 5 no more and bought me some underwear. Therapeutic value of one addict helping another. It will always and needs to always be without parallel. But we need to always remember, man, the message that we carry is one of hope. That hope that we give back saves lives. And if we forget what the message is, that any addict can stop using. Man, look, we can go through this all day long. But I need to remember with the seventh tradition, what part am I playing? Am I a part of the problem or am I part of a solution? I don't want to ever have any of my children have to come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and because somebody wasn't clear about what the seventh tradition does and is and what it supports, and just for the record, the second tradition and the third tradition are the foundational components that support the seventh tradition. If our message is hope and our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, then even if your dress is all up to your tail, come on in, baby. Just come on in first. Come on in. Because I can't judge your desire. So 2 and 3 tells me that the only requirement is, look, come on in. We're going to take care of that dress issue later. Because... And we will. But we have to teach and show the babies how to first come on in. We got to make sure that we maintain an atmosphere, man, of recovery. How do we maintain an atmosphere of recovery? How many newcomers have you hugged today? There's quite a few folks in this room. How many newcomers have you taken to dinner this weekend? I'm just asking. Because what we show them, what we emulate when we like this, that's what they gonna remember. They ain't gonna remember no lady talking about no seventh tradition and hell no. They gonna talk about, I went down to that convention and they took me to dinner. But what y'all told me later on after y'all took me to dinner was, baby, we gonna feed you, then we gonna feed you. So if I haven't been a part of the solution, and if I haven't assisted in feeding anybody's spirit other than my own, because I just reminded my damn self, yeah, okay. What I'm saying is that our seventh tradition is not just about the money. It's about the part that we play in keeping our primary purpose going. And if our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, every time we walk in the doors of a meeting, we need to make sure that we hugging, that we loving up on. Hell, get them a damn cup of coffee. Y'all know them babies coming here, they can't sit still, have the damn time. You get up and get them a cup of coffee. Sit next to them and hold their hand. That's what y'all did for me. Integrity, gratitude, faith, commitment. Those are some of the spiritual principles in the seventh tradition. If I say that my gratitude speaks when I care and when I share, then what's coming out my mouth? And am I really walking what I'm talking? Love up on somebody. Show up at your home group. Thanks for letting me share.